Okay, guys. Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. The host, Charlie Giuliani. Yeah, it looks like we're not going to get the guest today. She's still not responding. Probably is the time zone thing, and with my luck, she's probably either in Mountain Time or Pacific Time, so if she hasn't forgotten, and it is the time zone thing, by the time she becomes available, the show's going to be over, so, oh well. I'll just call her later, and I had a cancellation for next week. Maybe I can fill her in then. So, yeah, hopefully get her back on here another week or two, because that's going to be an interesting interview. Anyway, all right, let me get back to this Mars flood thing, guys. This is fascinating stuff. Mars is tilted at roughly the same angle that Earth is, roughly about 23 degrees, just like Earth. Isn't that interesting? It appears that the debris that flung from this trans-Martian exploded planet had struck Mars and Earth probably about the same time from the same angle, that would make sense, from the same region of the sky, knocking both of them off their axis at roughly the same degree, the same angle. And it resulted on both planets in a massive flood catastrophe. The biggest crater on Mars, as a matter of fact, it's the biggest crater in the entire solar system, which is, you know, amazing because Mars is only half the diameter of Earth, and it has a crater that's over 600 miles wide. And, you know, you wonder how that didn't blast the thing itself into pieces. Anyway, if you look at that crater exactly on the other side of the planet, on the total opposite side, you have a huge bulge that sticks out of the surface of the planet. It's about 1,000 miles, or actually several thousand miles across. It's called the Tharsis Bulge. And it's roughly 6 miles higher than all the rest of the surrounding terrain. And associated with it is this massive crack, if you will, this fault line, called Mariner Valley, or Valles Marineris in the Latin, as they refer to it. The thing is 3,000 miles long. It is literally as wide as the United States, or as long as the United States is wide. That's incredible. There's nothing like it in the solar system. Well, actually, Earth has something akin to it. You've got the East African Rift and the San Andreas Fault, which are about the same size, but for Mars's size, you know, half the diameter of Earth, to have a feature that large is phenomenal. Size-wise, in comparison to the size of the planet, there's nothing like it in the solar system. Earth doesn't have anything. As a matter of fact, Mars also has the largest volcano in the solar system, 15 miles high, which is associated, by the way, with this Tharsis Bulge. You know, by comparison, Earth's Everest is, what is it, about 4 or 5 miles high. So, you know, it's like one third of this massive mountainous structure on Mars. Half the size of Earth, yet it has a mountain 3 times higher than Earth. And so when you realize that opposite this, and Hellas is the name of that giant crater on Mars, by the way, just opposite Hellas on the other hemisphere, you have this Tharsis Bulge, you have the giant rift valley known as Mariner Valley or Valles Marineris, and you also have this volcano called Olympus Mons or Mount Olympus, the biggest volcano and or mountain in the entire solar system, 15 miles high. It doesn't take too much common sense to realize what happened here. The impact that created this Hellas crater literally forced the other side of the planet to bulge out. When it hit the planet, it created such a tremendous force, it formed this Tharsis Bulge. It caused this huge split 3,000 miles across. And it created this massive volcano, Mount Olympus, 15 miles high, that caused all kinds of debris to come shooting out of the planet to release the pressure created by the impact on the other side. Anyway, we'll go off on tangents some more with that when we get back. Stick with us, folks.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, Clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Matson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 3 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We're rambling away here about interesting alternative views of ancient history. I hope you find it interesting anyways. So here's what I see having happen. Again, Mars was struck. We see evidence of that all over the place. You know, it has these unusually large formations that obviously resulted from a calamity in its past. Mars was almost, you know, split in pieces, guys. It almost suffered the same fate as its neighbor. And by the way, the ancients talk about this. The Sumerians gave it a name, Tiamat. They knew that there was this planet. They even describe in detail in their legends. Again, they add a bunch of hyperbole and, you know, fairy tale language. Sometimes they personify the planets as persons. But nevertheless, what they describe is a battle that this planet lost. They describe Mars as having, by the way, that's Mars. That's why Mars was viewed in ancient legends as the god of war, because it battled at this same time and won. Tiamat lost. It was exploded into multiple pieces, but Mars won. It emerged victorious in battle. And of course, it turned blood red because of the oxidization of the iron minerals in its soil from the water, from the flood it suffered. Guys, there's no question if you've ever looked at, as a matter of fact, you can go to Google Mars, just like there's a Google Earth. Go to Google Mars sometime and check it out. There's three different ways you can view Mars on that program. You can view it in normal light, you can view it in infrared, and you can also view it by false color computer generated images that show you know, it's like a geological map that shows height. You know, the white would be the tallest structures, blue would be the lowest structures, and everything in between is kind of midway elevations. Elevation map is what it is. Anyway, or topography map. But when you look at the pictures and you scan across the surface, you can zoom in, too. It's really neat. You can see Mars like never before. But when you scan across the surface of the planet, you will notice all over the place features that obviously were cut by running water. Like I said, most scientists don't argue this anymore, especially now where they're finding all kinds of evidence of water all over the place on Mars. There's some areas where you have, you know, strewn fields of boulders and dust that stretch for hundreds and hundreds of miles, thousands of square miles. And now it's emerged that what they believe is actually there, these flat strips of land. They believe that it's frozen oceans just covered over with a thin layer of dust and rubble and, you know, rocks and so forth. But that just beneath the surface, maybe a foot, couple feet or so beneath this layer of dirt and debris, you have a frozen, still present frozen ocean of water. So a lot of the waters that once flooded Mars probably are still there, just in ice form. But what it looks like happen is, again, scientists agree that the source of these flood waters on Mars appear to have originated from underground, as though there was once a giant underground water table, if you will, a global scale underground water supply that burst forward to the surface when it was struck by this asteroid. It punctured the upper crust layer that was suspended above this water chamber and caused all of that pressurized water underneath to burst forth and flood the planet. Well, guess what? When you come to Earth, it appears the same thing happened here. A lot of ancient legends actually talk about this. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about the fountains of the great deep were broken up at the time of the flood. Think about it. An asteroid impacted the Earth, breaking up these fountains of the great deep that were pressurized underground. They burst forward, and they flew skyward, fell back as torrential rains, flooded the whole planet. And as that happened, this top layer of the Earth's crust, as the waters underneath it began to rise up and flood the Earth, the top layer of the crust began to sink below, and thus you had a flood. The world became flooded because the waters that were once below the Earth's upper crust layer now sat on top of the Earth's upper crust layer. And then many people will ask, okay, well, that makes sense, I suppose, but where's all the floodwaters today? They're still there, guys. They're in the oceans. How did the floodwaters get there? Well, now this is where it gets interesting. And at first glance, you'll probably think, oh, now you're really crazy. You're off the wall. You're onto something that's just totally nuts. Really? Well, listen to the evidence before you make that assumption. What I believe happened, and not just on Earth, several other bodies in the solar system clearly indicate that this took place, that there was an expansion of the crust. Not only the Earth, but Jupiter's moon Ganymede, its moon Europa, the planet Mars, our own moon, Saturn's moon Enceladus, Uranus's moons Ariel, Umbriel, Titania, Miranda, several, and it just goes on and on, Neptune's moon Triton. Several bodies throughout the solar system clearly show signs that they have expanded, literally blown up like a balloon. You have the outer crust layer that had split as the undercrust layer blew up. The way I like to illustrate it is, let's say you take a balloon and blow it up halfway. We'll say the balloon is blue. You blow it up halfway, and then you paint it brown. You wait for the paint to dry, and then you continue blowing up the balloon the rest of the way. What's going to happen? You're going to see a bunch of brown patches separating, cracking and separating, and as the balloon expands, you're going to see more and more blue, the color of the balloon underneath expanding, and these brown patches are going to separate further and further from each other as you blow the balloon up. The finished product, once you finish blowing up the balloon, is going to show blue with a bunch of brown patches scattered all over the surface of the balloon that look like broken or separated jigsaw puzzle pieces that would easily fit back together again if you shrunk the balloon back down, right? Well, that's what we have with good old planet Earth, guys. The continents, scientists admit, look like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle that once fit together. In fact, they agree unanimously that they did. But what they tell us is that the continents somehow drifted across thousands of miles of ocean floor to rest at their current spot where they now sit. Well, you know, there's some serious problems with that. What kind of mechanism would cause the continents to move across the ocean floors? And in the process of doing that, wouldn't that disrupt their coastal edges so much so that you wouldn't be able to tell that they once fit together like pieces of a puzzle? Of course. It's ridiculous. What kind of mechanism could move continents thousands of miles and not even disrupt their contours of their coastlines? It just so happens that if you were able to move the continents across the ocean floors today, they wouldn't fit together quite so neatly. But if you shrunk the Earth down by about one-third of its current size, guess what? The continents would fit together perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. This is what I think happened. After the flood, the world was indeed covered in water. Totally flooded. The entire planet. Everything was drowned out. And the continental land masses, which I believe once represented the outer crust layer of the Earth, and remember, underneath that outer crust layer was this underground water table, this global supply of underground water. When the flood happened, the asteroid impacted the Earth. Just like on Mars, by the way, you see the same thing having happened there. The asteroid impacted, cracked the Earth's crust on a global scale. That crack spread around the Earth. Today, we can see that crack by looking at the contours of the continents. They form what was once that system of cracks that formed around the globe. In fact, you line up those cracks with the mid-oceanic ridges. It lines up perfectly. That's the point from whence the continents had separated. So what happened now is the Earth was smaller than it is today, about one-third its size smaller. The Earth was flooded. The waters that were below the top crust layer were sent skyward, fell back as rain. That top layer, as the waters emptied out from underneath, they dropped lower and lower until they met up with the lower crust layer, and now the waters flooded the Earth. Shortly after the flood, the Earth, because it was heated up internally by the impact, keep in mind, the Earth was probably sloshing back and forth a bit, that created tremendous amounts of heat inside, and it caused an expansion, just like a balloon will expand, especially if you fill a balloon with hot air. It'll expand more easily, much more readily. It makes the crust more malleable. Do understand, by the way, that the Earth's lower crust layer, i.e. the ocean floors, is comprised of a heavy, thick, dense basalt material, which stretches much more easily than the continental land masses, which are made mostly of granite and are very brittle. The upper crust layer, or the continental land masses, as we now know them, are very very brittle. They'll break easy. They won't expand. They won't stretch. What will expand and stretch, though, is the oceanic floors, which represented what was once the lower crust layer of the Earth. When the Earth expanded, this lower crust layer, the ocean floors, were able to stretch. They're much more dense. They're just like a balloon. It's able to stretch more easily. The paint won't stretch on the balloon, right? The paint cracks and separates, just like the upper crust layer. When the Earth expanded, the continental land masses essentially remained in place while the Earth expanded from underneath. And as that happened, the engulfing floodwaters covering the continents drained out into the basins that were created as the continents spread apart from the Earth stretching out underneath. You guys see what I'm saying? Ocean basins were created by the continents remaining essentially in place and the Earth expanding underneath. The waters are still here today that once made up this flood. They just drained into the ocean basins, guys. This fits like a hand in a glove. And when you look at other bodies in the solar system, you see the same thing. These continents, if you will, that once comprised the outer crust layer. I'll talk about that some more when we get back after the break. I hope you're following me on this.
Safely beneath the blue. Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Okay, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Wow. There's only about a half an hour left here. I got at least 3 hours more of material I want to talk about. I wasn't even planning on doing this. I'm just kind of improvising here because our guest didn't show up. But like I said, I'm going to have the book I've written on this up on Lulu here at some point in the not-too-distant future. I just got to edit it one more time. But you might prefer to get the edition that I have printed locally with the pictures in it, guys. The pictures, that's what makes the book probably more than anything. In some instances, you actually need the pictures to help illustrate some of the things I'm talking about. In case it's difficult to, well, like what I'm talking about now, you know, this idea of the Earth expanding, it helps to have the visual aids so you see exactly what I'm talking about. But I was just mentioning how, you know, when the Earth expanded, the continents separated, and as they separated, the continents, of course, were represented the upper crust layer of the Earth. They were at a higher elevation, and as the Earth expanded, that the gap between the continents became ultimately the ocean basins. The waters drained as the Earth expanded more and more. The level of the sea level dropped more and more until now the upper crust layer, what was once the upper crust layer, now known as the continental land masses, stood above the ocean. So your floodwaters, guys, are still there. They haven't gone anywhere. They're just in the oceans. The Earth has expanded. And like I said, you look at several other bodies in the solar system, and it's amazing. I encourage you, if you want to look at some really interesting short video clips that illustrate this, Google Neil Adams, N-E-I-L-A-D-A-M-S. And you might want to type in Earth expansion along with that just to make sure you get the right Neil Adams. There's probably 50 million Neil Adams out there. But type in Neil Adams Earth expansion, and you'll find his website. It is absolutely amazing. And I only came to this understanding just in the past year, back in the early fall, late summer, early fall. I was blown away. I'm like, wow, I can't believe it. All the reading I've done, you know, alternative viewpoints on different subjects, and I had never seen this before. I'm like, where's this been all my life? Then I discovered it's been around since late 70s, early 80s. And I'm like, I can't believe I'd ever bumped into this because I specialize in reading alternative sources, you know. And when I saw his video clips that he produced, all based on actual photographs, you know, NASA maps and photographs that have been sent back by planetary exploration craft. What he does, for example, with Jupiter's moon Ganymede, you know, I always wondered what in the world anybody who's ever looked at pictures of Ganymede knows that it's a bizarre-looking moon. It's basically a light tan-colored moon that has these dark brown blotches all over it that look like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. These brown blotches look like they once fit together. And we know that these brown blotches are actually raised up. They're higher than the surrounding lighter-colored crust layer. You see the pattern here? It's just like on Earth, guys. The continental land masses are raised up, and they look like they fit together like jigsaw puzzle pieces. The same on Ganymede. These dark brown patches of land are raised up, and they look like puzzle pieces that fit together perfectly. The only way to get them to fit together perfectly is if you shrink the moon down. And that's what this guy does using computer simulation. He shrinks Ganymede down, and son of a gun, don't you know it, all of those jigsaw puzzle pieces line up perfectly. Ganymede, folks, expanded like a balloon, just like Earth, just like Mars. He has clips on there showing Mars having done this. Clips on there showing Jupiter's moon Europa and several other bodies in the solar system. Once you see this, it's like the light dawns and it's like, yeah, that has to be what happened. There's no other way to explain that. How did these broken jigsaw puzzle pieces that once represented an upper crust layer break apart and separate like that? Obviously, the moon expanded or the planet expanded from underneath. So do you see how everything falls together? In this scenario, you don't have to invent 5,000 different theories to explain a lot of phenomena like mainstream science does, which doesn't make sense, which you can't harmonize together, which contradict each other, which don't even make sense in the immediate context of a particular theory, never mind in the context of all the other theories they add that they throw in. This does not require a lot of high-tech calculations. It just requires common sense. And it fits like a hand in a glove, and it explains so many phenomena that otherwise don't make sense. I tell you guys, I can guarantee you this is what happened. It's like 9/11, you know. You just use common sense. You forget the garbage that they're feeding you in the media. You just take a step back and look at the panoramic view of things, and it all falls together like a jigsaw puzzle perfectly. And so it is here with science. You know, you don't have to be a PhD. In fact, many times having a PhD in science is a stumbling block for you to figure out how things work because you're so inundated with lies and status quo dogmas that you can't think outside the box. You can never come to an understanding of how things work because you've been pre-programmed to think a certain way, and you don't dare think otherwise because you don't want to be attacked by your comrades in academia. You don't want to be labeled as an academic heretic, probably lose your job or at least your credibility. So that's how it works. But when you step outside the box, the incredible things that will open up before you, I'm telling you, this makes a lot more sense. It's far more fascinating. You won't win a popularity contest looking into things like this. You'll be called crazy and, oh, that's so unscientific. Is it really now? What they're offering is unscientific. Another break, guys. Be right back. Stick with us. Yeah.
listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hey, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. And if it wasn't obvious before, it certainly is now. Our guest, unfortunately, is definitely not going to be on today. Like I said, I'm going to call her. Hopefully we can get a book for next week, guys. Alexandrovna, Miss Alexandrovna from Raw Story. Definitely got our wires crossed somehow. Not sure what happened, but we'll definitely get her back on here at some point. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about fossils, something else I've collected over the years. Wish I hadn't done so, but like a fool, I actually wound up selling quite a bit of my collection years ago. Still got quite a bit, but I sold most of it. Wish I hadn't done that. It was kind of stupid. But anyway, fossils, guys, are absolute proof of this catastrophe. In addition to the weight of evidence we have of, you know, ancient legends and other ancient documents that the world did indeed suffer this tremendous calamity, we have physical evidence. You know, we have the Earth knocked off its axis. We have indications of, magnetic field having changed its polarity several times in the past. I don't have the time to go into that. Someday I'll present the evidence for that when I officially go on a rant with this. And, you know, I'll be reading you some very interesting quotes from ancient sources. But, you know, for now, let me get into the fossil thing, because here now we have even more evidence, physical evidence, that the Earth did suffer this calamity in the distant past. Scientists want us to believe, in fact, they compel us to believe, that the fossil record formed over multiplied millions of years.
Now, I'm going to give you a few examples of why that's just simply not possible, why it is an absolute laughable joke, as a matter of fact. Now, I'm not going to get into how old the Earth is. That's not the issue in question here. The issue is the fossil record as old as they're telling us, or does it simply date back to, thousands of years ago instead of millions? The calamity that we're talking about here that disrupted the Earth, Mars, and indeed the whole solar system has been dated anywhere from, 5, 6 to 10, 15,000 years ago. It's somewhere in that realm. Nobody can know for sure. There's no way to know for sure, but we do know it was not that long ago. And I'm talking about the extinction of the dinosaurs. All of this came about as a result of this calamity. The fossil record preserves for us these dinosaur remains because there was a calamity. We would not have dinosaur remains or any fossil remains for that matter unless there was a calamity. There's nowhere you can go today and see fossils being formed. There's nowhere you can go today and see fossils being formed because animals, when they die, begin to immediately break down, disarticulate, especially fish. Their bones are very fragile. They don't have bones, actually. They get cartilage. And they begin to disarticulate within just, a half hour or so after the fish dies. Their brains start to break down, separate from each other, fall apart, very fragile. Besides that, you have predators that come along and pick away at these corpses. You have the elements. Rainstorms will further break the fish down. Yet, wherever you look on planet Earth and find fish fossil formations, and you find them all over the planet, you find these fish preserved by the tens and hundreds of thousands, and every single time you find these fish with their bones or cartilage fully articulated, they show no signs whatsoever of having broken down, the bones separating, predators having picked away at them. They are found with the bones fully in place just as they were when they were alive. This clearly indicates that these formations had to form very rapidly, not over millions of flipping years. This is a joke. Let me give an example. There's a formation out in the Midwest. It spans parts of Colorado, Wyoming, and Utah. It's called the Green River Formation. It's hundreds of miles long, and in some areas it's 60, 70 feet thick. No matter where you look in these layers of sedimentary rock, you split apart the layers, you're going to find actually all kinds of stuff, bugs and sometimes alligators and stingrays and whatnot. But mostly what you find is fish, all kinds of species of fish, many of which are still alive, by the way. And again, no matter where you look in these layers, the fish are in perfectly preserved conditions. Scientists want us to believe that this formation took, again, millions of years to form. There were intermittent periods of flood and drought, flood and drought, flood and drought. Not a global flood, they say just a localized flood. The river would flow in a rainy season, then the dry season would come along, the fish would, the river would dry up, the fish would die, and then be buried, and then next year the same thing, and this would happen over and over and over. They honestly want us to believe that these hundreds and hundreds of thousands of fish all sat there with their bones remaining fully articulated, waiting patiently to be buried, without any predators coming along and picking at them, without the elements breaking them up, without the natural processes of decomposition causing their bones to break down. I just can't put it into words. It's kind of like the NIST telling us that we found no evidence of molten steel at ground zero. But if there was steel, if there was molten steel, it probably resulted from, what I'm talking about. I've been over that enough. I don't have to elaborate. But it's that ridiculous. The steel melted because of flammable materials in the pile. Folks, you don't have to be a scientist to see that that is as unscientific as it gets. If that's true, the moon is made of cheese. Man, and they say you're crazy if you don't agree with them. You're crazy if you agree with them. There's nothing scientific about it. Nor is there anything scientific to say that these fish fossils formed over millions of years. It's ridiculous. Let me give you another example of how heinous their theories are. All over the world, there are sedimentary layers where you find polystrat fossils, that is, fossils like petrified wood tree trunks, for example, that in many cases stand straight up, vertical, transversing hundreds and hundreds, sometimes thousands of layers of sedimentary rock. They want us to believe that those cliffs, like any other sedimentary cliffs, took millions of years to form. Do you see how you don't need a PhD? All you need is a little common sense, if there is such a thing anymore. Just a little common sense to realize that that's absolutely impossible. They want us to believe that that tree stood for millions of years waiting for those layers to build up around it and bury it. Petrified tree trunks that are sometimes 40, 50, 60 feet tall, standing straight up in sedimentary cliffs. And that it took millions of years for those layers to build up around the tree trunk. Do you see how laughable that? It's pathetic. Obviously, these tree trunks were buried rapidly. You know, I could go on with a lot more instances to prove that their dating methods are a bunch of bunk. But let me end it all right here. Are you ready? Again, simple common sense. You don't need a PhD. You don't need to write out complicated mathematical formulas. Just a little common sense that you were born with. Okay? If you have any left, and the Prozac hasn't ruined that, check this out, guys. I shouldn't keep teasing people about Prozac, but anyway, you know what I mean. So here we go. We're going to put to a final end right now the whole dating method. And the reason I'm doing this is if you can demonstrate that the dating method of the fossil record being multiplied millions of years old is complete bunk, now you can push the date up for these fossils much more recently to the time of the flood catastrophe, which is when these formations were formed, when these fossils were formed. A flood catastrophe is the only thing that can account for all of the fossils that we see, for the fish to be preserved undisturbed the way they are. They had to all be buried suddenly in an instant, for petrified tree trunks to be standing up 60 feet tall and be buried in layer after layer. It had to happen suddenly in an instant, not over millions of years. But here's the clincher, and I could go on, and I will on future shows, go on a tangent with dozens and dozens of other proofs, but it ends right here, guys. You ready? You can humble a scientist in the dust and turn him 20 shades of red, have him pull an about-face and take off, because he cannot answer you, even though you might not have passed a third-grade level education. You can blow out of the water the most articulate PhD scientist with this argument. I have never gotten an answer, and I never will, because there isn't one. They can't answer this. When they date, say, a dinosaur bone, what they're doing is they're dating minerals that have replaced the bone. They're not dating bone material. In fact, most dinosaur bones have no bone material whatsoever. There are some that do, and that's another story. I'll get into that some other time. But most dinosaur bones have no organic materials whatsoever. Even if they did, and there are some that do, even if they did, you still can't date that organic material because, according to mainstream scientific thought, dinosaur bones are far too old for carbon-14 to still be remaining in them. So the carbon-14 dating method cannot be used. You can't date organic materials to tell how old the dinosaur bone is. So they must date the minerals that have replaced the bone. And this is where the problem lies. When you try to date a dinosaur bone by dating the minerals that have replaced it, all you can hope for at best is to tell how old the minerals in the bone or in the fossil are that have replaced the bone, but that tells you nothing about how old the bone itself is or was. Do you see my point? How could dating minerals that have replaced the bone, that existed long before the bone did, possibly tell you how old the bone was? It's like digging up bones in a cemetery and scraping off dirt stuck to the bones, dating the dirt and saying that's how old the bones are. The dirt existed long before the bones were put there in the grave. You see my point? Dating the dirt around the bones, or dating the minerals that have replaced the bones, as in the case of a dinosaur bone, could not possibly ever tell you how old the dinosaur bones were. This is the garbage they're pawning off on you as science, folks. Do you see why they could never tell you how old the dinosaur bone is? Never, never, never. I have just stripped away what has been considered the most sound and irrefutable dating method on the planet, using radioisotopic dating methods. It's basically infallible. They use it all the time. And they insist this tells you, well, guess what? It turns out that that dating method is full of holes to begin with. It's not reliable. It's not infallible. There's a number of factors that make it totally unreliable, and I'll get into that on another show, but I'm just trying to make the point here that even if it was infallible and unreliable, this dating method, all it could tell you at best is how old the minerals are that have replaced the bone. It cannot tell you anything about how old the bone is or was. Do you see my point? I hope I've made that clear. The dating methods of fossils is a fraud. And don't think for one moment that they don't know this. Just like the scientists who, you know, want to sell you the Apollo moon landings. Yeah, right. I'm going to go off on a tangent on that sometime, guys. You wouldn't believe what a fraud that is. Hey, we got a caller. What do you know? Dan in Houston. How's it going, Dan?
Neat show. Enjoy. So I was wondering if you ever got into the different planets, like Mars may have been inhabited because it had water on it and so forth. Well, you know, the Bible says that there are other worlds before this one and be more worlds after this one, like this one. And the fact that Mars apparently has water, whereas until in the past they denied it. That's kind of proof of something the Bible says. There's other worlds besides this one, future and past. But
sure.
Here in NASA, maybe 5 years ago, the other guys, the scientists at NASA, the Christian scientists at NASA, and some weren't even Christians, they were just curious. They had commandeered a computer one week when nobody was looking, and taxpayers weren't paying attention. Anyway, they cranked that sucker up, and man, they went back to the Old Testament, and on the day that they said that the moon stood still, or the sun stood still, I mean. And,
oh, yeah, that's something else I'm going to get into sometime, too. That's fascinating. And
yeah,
you know,
it was verified, but mathematically with the physicists and scientists and all the other, you know, blue blood out there.
Well, that's interesting because on that part of the world, the Middle East, they said the Earth, you know, the sun stood still and the day was prolonged. On the other side of the globe, in the Andes, there's an ancient legend preserved that talks about a nighttime that was prolonged. Well, that would make sense because at the time the day was prolonged in the Middle East, it would have been nighttime on the other side of the world in Peru, and you would have had a prolonged nighttime. So there's other legends that corroborate that.
I didn't know that. That's far out. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
There's only the only written thing I've ever seen about this in writing is a King James version of the Bible called the Dake Bible, D-A-K-E, Dake Bible. It's really popular as a research Bible, and it's just a very King James version, but it has notes on both sides. It goes into detail some of the mathematical stuff, how the earth stood still.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even people that don't believe in the Bible as far as religious matters, you can't discount it as a historical document. There's some fascinating stuff in there that corroborates with a lot of other ancient legends. As a matter of fact, when I was doing research on this stretch, this expanded earth thing, I wondered, you know, I found it contained in some ancient legends. In fact, the Zenda Vista, which is the holy book, if you will, of Zoroastrianism, you know, in Iran, it dates back to at least 2000 B.C., it actually states that the earth expanded. It says the Earth grew in size by one-third its current size. And that's exactly the amount that if you shrink the Earth down, you know, the continents will fit together like puzzle pieces. Anyway, I searched in the Bible. I said, I thought, I wonder if, you know, the Bible has anything to say about this. And you know what? I found like half a dozen verses. I'll read them on a future show. It says that the Lord stretched out the Earth and provided space for the waters of the flood to drain. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, a gun. It was in there.
That's awesome. I happen to know a Zoroastrianist, whatever you want to call him. He's a Kurd. He came here because his the relatives were murdered, the Ayatollah. After the Shah was disposed of, they thought the Shah was a bad guy. The Ayatollah, who they loved at first, he turned out to be worse. But it just passed that on by people put down the Shah, the people there wish the Shah was back. But the Zoroastrians, they still practice Zoroastrianism, and in the Old Testament, Zoroastrianism is the opposite of the religion of God in the Bible, way I understood and read. They believe in murdering your firstborn son to the fire god. And I don't think they do that today.
Zoroastrianism does, really?
Yeah, well, the Old Testament, you'll tell. I'm not saying this guy informed me that today that stuff is very much still there because he is born and raised in it. Has Zoroastrianism, as it were, in the Old Testament, like the walls of Jericho tumbling down, which doesn't mean it came tumbling. That means that the literature means the city got invaded and tore it. I mean, the walls just crumbled and disappeared. I mean, the city fell to attackers, what it meant. So the walls didn't physically crumble. They were penetrated. And then, he told me that's what they did back in those days. They were done away with as a people because of the hideous things they did, like slaughtering your firstborn. So not to mention diseases, which sounded very much like AIDS. So people think that God is a bad guy for murdering whole villages full of people. He makes it clear he did it because of disease and because of their filthy, terrible ways of living, murdering your firstborn son in fire, for one thing. But also, the Bible, what fascinates me is I'd like to ask an all-knowing scientist, is the Bible talks about there are certain things the mind of man cannot comprehend, and it says the beginning and the end of time and the beginning and end of space. So I think you hit them pretty heavy and going into those. If time started, what was before time? If time ends, what's after time? If space ended, where does it stop? What's after that? That's the stuff I use to try to keep my son from being an atheist.
Well, this is another fascinating passage. In fact, I'm going to go into this in a future show, too, about bizarre scientific statements in the Bible that seem way ahead of its time. There's one where, you know, it's the Apostle Peter writing, I think, and he says a day to God is as a year, and a year is as a day. That's relativity. That's what the principle is behind Einstein's theory of relativity, that time is relative.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, that's getting past me.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you stop and think about it, that is what it's all about. You know, the time, if you went at the speed of light and circled the Earth three times, you come back. Only a few seconds went by for you, but for the people here on Earth, it could have been like 100 years. It's relative. You know, that's what that statement is saying. Anyway, thanks for your call, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Call again sometime. We've got to go on break here, folks. We'll be right back.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Guys, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Wow, this 2 hours has really flown. I was going to go over news, but won't have time for that, I guess. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this discussion. It's like I said, there's a lot more to this. I haven't even scratched the surface yet. In fact, it's going to probably take half a dozen shows to go through this. I'm just kind of giving an overview on future shows scattered here and there, I'll go into this stuff in more detail. Probably spend one show just on, the early Earth's environment, quoting from ancient documents showing that, and physical evidence showing how the Earth was a paradise in ancient times. I take this into other heretical realms as well, since the fossil record, obviously, is much more recent, and I'll present more evidence of that, at a future show. But once you realize the fossil record is of a far more recent origin, and that it occurred, at the time of this calamity, during the time that man lived on Earth as well, then you start to wonder, was man and dinosaur contemporaneous? Did man live alongside dinosaurs? You wouldn't believe the evidence of that. It's unbelievable. There's physical evidence, fossil evidence. They have found human and dinosaur tracks superimposed over each other or walking alongside each other all over the planet. Not that they necessarily literally walk side by side, but, the dinosaur would lay a track and then a human would come by later or vice versa. But they have found human and dinosaur tracks in proximity, very close proximity, overlapping each other in some instances. Human footprints stepping right inside dinosaur tracks. In addition to that, they have found human skeletons inside formations alongside dinosaur bones. But also, we have a lot of fascinating ancient records that talk of, great beasts. Even in the Bible, there's Behemoth, Leviathan, giving a description of a creature that could only be interpreted as a dinosaur. Creatures that had tails like a cedar. We also have archaeological evidence or, carvings of creatures on palace and or temple walls that are dinosaurs. I'm looking at a picture right now on my computer here that has to be a brontosaurus. It's from a Sumerian seal. It has the large body with the huge elephant-like legs, the long, long tail, the very long neck with the small head. There's no other creature known to man that has ever walked the earth but a brontosaurus that fits this description. The picture is a precise representation of a brontosaurus. Ancient Egyptian art depicts this as well. I'm looking at another picture here. Ancient Chinese art. The Chinese talk about dragons all the time. I'm going to go into that in some detail. And I'm looking at another picture here. This is from the Midwest out in Utah. Dinosaur National Monument right near there. There are some Native American carvings on a cliff wall nearby. This one I'm looking at right now is, it's like a brontosaurus or a diplodocus. Large body, fat legs, long neck, small head, long tail. What else could it be? These people saw dinosaurs, guys. And again, the evidence of that it comes in many different forms. I'll be looking at that on future shows. I'm looking at a picture right now of a carving on a temple wall at Angkor Wat, which is on the island of Java. Or actually, no, it's in Cambodia, I guess it is. This is unbelievable. It is a stegosaurus. No question about it. It's got the big fins on its back. It's got the plate on its head. The rhinoceros-looking snout. There's nothing else it could be. Anyway, that's all the time we got for today, folks. I'm going to call and give a reminder. Make sure our guest will be on for tomorrow. And I'll get Miss Alexandrovna on here probably, hopefully, next week. All right, guys. Have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible